Lee Chambers
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
That's Madness and Our House, because we're talking houses now. Matthew Taylor joins me. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. And you're here to talk about the Engineer's House, which is owned by the Cambridge Museum of Technology. Is that right?
Well, not strictly, no. It's owned by the council still, but it's been leased to the museum on a 25-year lease, on the understanding that the museum then turns the building into a community hub, a place for tourists to come to, and that it's restored, fully restored.
Well, let's find out a little bit about the house to begin with. It's called the Engineer's House,
yes.
And presumably the engineer lived there.
He did, yes. Well, so you know that the Museum of Technology used to be the pumping station for Cambridge, and all the sewage from there was pumped up to Milton, and all the rubbish from the city was burnt there as well. The pumping station was built in 1894, and then 4 years later they built a house next door to it for the chief engineer to live in, and there was a chief engineer there up until 1960, just look at my paperwork here, 1968. So there were five chief engineers altogether, and there's a connection between Chief Engineer number three, Charles H. Copeland, and one of the current trustees of the museum.
Oh, wow.
Katie Bailey. So there's a living connection between...
It's nice, there's continuity.
Yes.
So the house itself was built then in 1898?
Yes.
And would have been a family home?
It would. It's interesting, actually. You see photographs of it when it was built, or close to the time when it was built, and it was in the middle of fields. So it was right on the edge of Cambridge. And there were no buildings near to it at all. It was just fields and trees. So it's only in the last, I can't remember when I don't know if you know, but next door to it there was a gas holder built, I think, in the 1910s or 20s. So that overshadowed the whole pumping station and the engineer's house site. And that came down, I think, around about 2000. And then they built a lot of really nice flats overlooking the river. And so now that whole site, the pumping station, the engineer's house, are actually quite close to the centre of the city, I suppose, in a way.
And it always would have overlooked the river. It's a beautiful aspect.
Oh, it's a fantastic spot. Yes, it's one of the best places, I think, to work in Cambridge, because you're working in a place where there's no traffic. Well, there are boats going past and bicycles and people on foot, but there's no road traffic because it's a no-through road. So it's very quiet. There's a nature reserve opposite, on the opposite bank as well. So you see lots of birds and bird spotters. And yeah, it's just a really nice part of town. I've been there for about 8 months now, I think, working on the place. And it's nearly ready to open up to the public properly.
Well, let's talk about the house. What's in the house? It's quite a big house, isn't it?
It is quite a big house, yes. It's a detached house with its own gardens at the back and the front and the side. And what we're doing is we're turning the house into... Well, downstairs there'll be a cafe. In the garden there's going to be a bar and a food shack where we'll be doing pizzas, freshly baked pizzas. There'll be an entertainment centre, so there'll also be a little stage, two stages, in fact, in the garden, where we'll have live events. So that could be comedy evenings or... performances, music or theatre. And then upstairs, which is the reason I'm there, is we'll be running escape games.
Escape rooms kind of thing.
Yes. And we're also building quite a big escape game, which will be the first game that we actually run on the site, and that'll be in the museum. And I hope, if things go well, that should be open around about May, June time, when the museum actually reopens. Still haven't got dates for that, but they think it'll be around about, or shortly after Strawberry Fair, round about then.
So the hub and the cafe, etc., are they going to be open permanently?
Yes, we'll be open. We're still working out what our opening hours will be, because there'll be an alignment with the museum's opening hours. But we anticipate being open 7 days a week, and the cafe will be open probably from 9 a.m, maybe till 4 o'clock. And then the bar will be open from 5 o'clock every night till maybe 10 o'clock.
Nice place to have a drink, sitting overlooking the river.
Oh, it's lovely. Yeah, it's great, and it won't just be for tourists. It'll and museum visitors. Anybody will be able to come, and we'll also be hiring the space out. So if you think of having a wedding and you want it in a quirky sort of place, then you'll be able to come to us.
So you could hire it out for things like weddings, for exhibitions and performances as well?
Yes, we've already done a few things there. We're testing things out. So we've been doing things like we've had poetry readings there in the front room downstairs. We had a big party for Extinction Rebellion last week, which was great. It was packed. We had an event for the Science Week the week before that. Biohackers, I think it was, had a great big marquee up in the back garden, and again that was fully booked. So really, we're not saying we will only have this kind of event on the site. We're saying to local people, what kind of things would you like to see here? And if you've got an idea for a performance or an exhibition, a poetry reading, then we'll do our best to make sure that we can find the space for you to have it there.
And you could have it for things like parties. And I presume because it's a community hub, the prices for hiring will be quite reasonable.
Yes, very reasonable. Yes, we want to make it accessible to all. So there'll be different charges for different groups. So if you're a local community group and you haven't got any money or very little, then we'll make sure that you have access to it. And on the other hand, if you're a big wealthy corporate, then we'll do our best to make sure that you have a good time there and that you can do training through our escape games or something like that. And we'll charge a corporate rate. We haven't quite worked out what that is yet. But
so how much work are you doing on it? Because it has fallen into quite a state of disrepair, hasn't it?
Oh, it was in a terrible state. When we got there, I think it had been boarded up for about 10 years. It had been squatted for about 8 years, I think. And there'd been a fire there, I think around about 2008. I'm a bit hazy about the dates. And after the fire, the place was just boarded up. And when we went, the boards went in, which was last June. The council had just taken the boards off the windows and the doors. And so inside, it had been left in the as it was just after the fire. So the place was fire damaged. There were floors burnt through, water damage. It was a real mess. So, yes, we spent... And the outside was a mess as well, because it had been used as a sort of dumping ground. So we've spent the last 8 months or so just renovating the house and the garden.
And are there any original features there? I mean, something built in that time period. It is a very beautiful house, but yes. Are there things like
On
the ceiling roses, that's what I mean.
Yes, we've tried to keep as much of the original features as possible. It is in a conservation area, and we don't want to change it. We want it to be... It's not going to be a renovation the same way that the David Parr House, which I'm sure you know, is going to be renovated. It's a working space, so it is going to be a cafe. It is going to be an escape game centre. But yeah, structurally it'll be as it was. And so if, say, the museum in a few years' time decide they want to make it exactly as it might have been when the first engineer lived there, then it'd be very easy to do. It'd be a question of just redecorating, but structurally there'd be nothing new to do.
So with the engineer, would he have been quite well-to-do, for want of a better word? Because it's a detached house with its own grounds, quite large.
I think he would have been quite well-to-do. I think it was a very important job in the city. And so he would have been a respectable chap, pretty high status, I'd have thought. It is quite a big house. It's not huge, but it's certainly quite imposing, overlooking the river. When you look at it, you've seen it, haven't you? Mm. There are these steps leading up to the front door, big steps up to the front door. It reminds me very much of that famous poster from The Exorcist, you know, with the man
yes.
standing in the street looking up at this imposing house with these steps leading up to it. So lots of stories about ghosts in the house, which we're going to incorporate into our escape games.
Have you seen anything while you've been there?
Heard various noises. Don't know where they came from, but there are lots of stories. I won't go through them because some of them are quite dark. Actually, you might want to know, we're on the 14th of April on Sunday, there's going to be an open day. And so people who know the house or would like to know about the house are invited to come and bring photographs, tell us stories about people who used to live there. So if you've got any connection with the house at all, please do come down on the 14th on Sunday. And I think that's from 1 o'clock till 4 o'clock.
1 till 4 on Sunday the 14th. But people can just come along and have a look as well.
Oh, absolutely, yes. You don't have to have any connection with the house. If you're just interested to find out about the history of the place, then yes, please come along.
So what's your time frame for this? When do you foresee it being open as a hub?
Well, it's, as I said, we've started opening on a very small scale. So we've been running events there on a Thursday evening, poetry readings and storytelling. And we've done a few events, as I mentioned already, just to test things out. But our objective is to try and ensure that we're fully functioning by the time the museum reopens. That has been delayed because of various problems that they had on site. It's been a huge project, as I'm sure you probably know. It's been a £2 million project to renovate the museum. We haven't got a fixed date yet for the museum's reopening, but obviously what we're doing is we're gearing up to be open at exactly the same time, fully open, at the same time as the museum.
So, are we talking before the end of the year?
Or? Oh, yes. No, we're aiming to have most of our facilities, not the escape games, but the bar and the cafe open by Easter, and then everything else open at the same time as the museum's reopening.
Well, I do recommend it. I thought it was lovely. It was just so atmospheric, but in a beautiful position and a really lovely house. So I recommend people going along on the 14th to have a look around. And it would be great if you found somebody who did have a connection to the house. Presumably, the descendants of the engineers are still...
Well, as I said, yes, Katie Bailey, who's one of the trustees, her grandfather was one of the chief engineers back in the 30s, I think, and just... check. Yeah, 1902 actually, to 34, so he was there for a long time. But we've also, just working in the place, we've had people on the street just say, oh, I used to live here, or I used to know people who lived here, or I can remember when there were great parties in his place back in the day.
Yes, I bet.
So we're very keen to find out all stories. It doesn't matter whether you were connected to the one of the families of the chief engineer or not. If you were it was a council house before it was squatted, so if you lived there or you knew people who lived there back when it was a council house, we'd love to hear from you.
I can imagine it was a great house for a party, actually. Yeah. Well, you can find out more about the house, museumoftechnology.com/engineers-house, and there's a little video that takes you round the house. Mm-hmm. And the crowdfunding campaign, which is being run by the Museum of Technology, that's on indiegogo.com. That's to raise money, presumably, for a refurbishment.
I think so. That's the museum's project. We've got our own Indiegogo project, which we're going to be launching shortly, which will be to develop what we think is probably going to be the most exciting escape game in the world.
Ever.
Oh, excellent. And so that'll be launched fairly soon. We've had an Indiegogo campaign video made by some local filmmakers and sound designers. So that should be released probably within the next week or two. But I recommend that if people want to find out more about what's actually happening in the house, that they go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/otherside with a Y.
S-Y-D-E, yes.
Yes, and all our events are listed on that page, and we have regular photographs taken of events, and we've got... people they can pitch ideas on our Facebook page as well if they want to.
Oh, it's very nice evening I came to, sitting around a crackling fire, listening to a reading with a glass of wine in your hand. I mean, what's not to like about that?
Well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
Thank you very much, Matthew. As museumoftechnology.com/engineers-house, or as Matthew was saying, you can follow them on Facebook, Other Side, spelt with a Y.
Yes.
Thanks,
yes.
And good luck with all your projects.
Thank you very much.